The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Present your case to our experts by calling in between 12:30 and 1 on Sundays. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now your host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. I'm Dr. Steve Maskin, and it's good to be with you again. We have had some great weather here in Tampa for the last several days. And of course, for the next week, we'll be the center of attention as the Super Bowl is brought to Tampa. Raymond James, where it will be played, is actually less than 1 mile from where we broadcast. We'll be all looking forward to that great game. This radio healthcare clinic is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive health safety net with immediate impact to save lives and protect families. We make you a lay medical expert on your medical problems using interactive, dynamic education programs. First off is this radio program, where each week we share information tackling a different medical topic. And in fact, hundreds of listeners are enjoying and learning from the show now every week. In addition, we have the annual healthcare symposium. The fourth annual symposium is March 21st, just around the corner. The symposium is absolutely free. It's at the Tampa Convention Center this year. We are expecting 2,000 to 3,000 women. So you must register now, as seating is limited. We have 20 different topics on the agenda, along with 8 different types of fitness classes, health screenings, and chair massage. It's going to be a great day. Today's healthcare clinic is a very important topic, a topic that I personally work with every week in my practice, and that is herpes infections of the cornea. Now, it's important to understand, herpes is, of course, a virus, and it has a tendency to affect nerve tissue, and the cornea has probably the most dense population of nerves anywhere in the body, more so than tooth pulp. The cornea is the dome-shaped piece of tissue, which is normally clear, and it sits over the colored part of the eye called the iris. So that clear dome tissue, which actually when you look at someone in the eye, you don't really see, you're actually looking through it, is often affected by herpes virus. And as everybody knows, there are two types of herpes virus, the cold sore type of herpes, which is herpes simplex virus 1, and the genital herpes, which is herpes simplex virus 2. Most cases that affect the cornea are herpes simplex virus 1. Well, why is it important to be aware of herpes simplex virus and the cornea? Well, it turns out that the herpes simplex virus, once you have it in the cornea, is a friend for life. Just like herpes anywhere, it's a friend for life. It can recur, and when it recurs in the cornea, as we'll find out as we continue to talk about this, but it can affect your vision. It can actually lead to blindness, and in some cases, it can lead to the loss of your eye. So, in fact, it is herpes is the leading cause of blindness from cornea diseases in our country. Now, it is a reversible blindness, so you can have a corneal transplant if necessary and have your vision restored. And we'll be talking later today about actually ways in which the disease can be managed to minimize that risk of needing a corneal transplant. But ultimately, you want to avoid this type of infection in your cornea. And once you get this type of infection, you are then at increased risk for having other infections of the cornea, such as bacterial infections. And together, again, it can be devastating to the eye. So the next question to consider is, how does one get a herpes infection in the cornea, for example? And I have to share with you two interesting cases from my almost 20 years of managing cornea diseases of the eye. And some years ago, a visiting dignitary from the Middle East, a diplomat, was sent to me with his a newborn, probably about, I would say in retrospect, maybe 11 months old. And that 11-month-old infant had a red eye and had a red eye for several weeks. And it was not clear just what was causing the problem, as one eye was involved. And of course, he was very concerned, as he ought to be, because the visual pathways, the way in which we see, is developed to a large extent during the first 2 years of life. So the infant was examined by myself, the cornea, not only was the eye red, but the cornea was hazy. And that would decrease the light getting through the cornea to the back of the eye and into the brain. So in other words, what was happening to this infant was affecting the infant's future, or potentially could affect the infant's visual potential, because the brain is not fully receiving the signals that normally are transmitted through that cornea, because the cornea was somewhat hazy and cloudy. Well, as I looked carefully and studied this infant's eyes, it was very suggestive to me that there might be a viral infection of this cornea, that is herpes. So I turned to the father and I asked him if he or someone else in the family tend to express their love for their child by kissing the child's face, and particularly around the area of the eye. And well, it turns out he did. And then I asked him, has anyone who's able to get close to the infant and express their affection had a recent cold sore? Well, you guessed it. Just a few weeks before this child developed this condition, this red eye and cloudy cornea, the father himself did have a cold sore. And this is a very important lesson. Later on, some years later, a boyfriend and girlfriend, couple, both in their teens, came to my office. The patient was the boyfriend, the guy. He was probably 18, 19, and the girlfriend was sitting in the chair we have in the office for the family members or friends that accompany the patient. And he, again, had an undiagnosed problem with one of his eyes, red chronically over a few weeks, some decrease in vision, and it wasn't clear what was going on. After a careful, meticulous examination, again, it became fairly clear to me that this young man had a herpes infection of the cornea. Never had any problem with his eyes before. So I first asked them how long have they been going together. Well, they've been going together for a while. And then I turned to the, I asked the patient, the guy, I said, do you guys tend to kiss around the eyes? The answer was yes. And then I turned to the girlfriend. I said, have you recently had a cold sore? And again, you can guess the answer. Just prior to this problem beginning, she had had a cold sore on the lip. So we have a rule in our family. No, kissing is fine on the cheek, but stay away from the top of the cheekbone. Stay away from anywhere around that eye, because you don't want to give a gift, so-called the gift I keep giving. It's crucially important to remember this. As we tend to share our emotion, our affection with our loved ones, and we don't necessarily think, unless we know, that there's a great potential to infect our loved one with something that will impact them for the rest of their lives. Now, when we think about a herpes infection of the cornea, herpes is an interesting virus. As I mentioned, it attacks nerves, and when it does attack the nerve, it then migrates back to the brainstem in the case when the infection involves the cornea, and then it can come out of latency. It sits there in the brainstem, and it can come out of latency and travel back along the nerve back to the cornea at intermittent times throughout a patient's life. Things that are considered triggers for recurrent herpes includes fever, sunlight exposure, stress, in a woman, a menstrual period. And so one has to be cognizant of that. Similarly, if you in the realm of stress, if that includes surgical stress, let's say you need an operation, you have to be considered that this can increase your risk of developing herpes, even if it's in another part of the body. And that's important because when we talk about treatment, there's not just treatment for it, there's not just treatment for the acute case, there's also suppressive therapy for herpes infection of the cornea. So it's important. And let's say you have herpes infection of the cornea and you have cataract surgery. It is very important that you have suppressive therapy going into your cataract surgery to minimize risk of recurrence. So at this point, we have a caller on the line, and we'll come back to discussing the background of herpes and how it affects the cornea and so on. But first, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-259-9058. 1-800-259-9058. Call now. 1-800-259-9058. 1-800-259-9058.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Are you one of the many folks who suffer from dry eye? Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but dry eye is something you'll have to live with or nothing can be done for you? Well, don't stand for that answer anymore just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems. Go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you'll be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with the doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. The Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, 3001 Swan Avenue in Tampa. Find them online at drmaskin.com. Haven't you waited long enough?
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. And we're talking about herpes infections of the cornea, and before we resume that, I wanted to, again, briefly mention about the Focus on Females Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, the topics that we'll be covering. Cardiac disease, colon cancer, cervical, ovarian, and uterine cancer, nutrition, cancer prevention, graceful aging, migraines, fertility, menopause, bladder incontinence, what's new in plastic surgery, osteoporosis, sleep disorders, breast cancer, dry eye, looking more youthful without general anesthesia, skin cancer, diabetes, raising your adolescent child, allergies, and rapid recovery following breast augmentation. These are 20 different medical topics, each 1 hour long seminar with experts speaking plain English. Focusonfemales.com. You go there and you can register. It's all free. Okay, back to herpes infections of the cornea, and we have Carrie on the line with a question. Carrie, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Hello.
Hi.
My question relates back to what you were talking about, cold sores. Do you know how they say that when you have a cold, before it starts, you're most contagious a few days before the cold breaks out?
Right.
Is that the same case with a cold sore where you may not see the cold sore, but you still could be developing the virus without it being seen by the naked eye? And then if you were to kiss somebody around the eye, could that also cause the infection?
Well, that's a good question, because I think it's generally accepted that there is so-called shedding of virus even though there's not a lesion that is visible. So in that case, if the person has a abnormal feeling on the lip, for example, where they normally would have a cold sore, it could be an itchy feeling, or it could be a abnormal sensation, then that may indicate the emergence of a cold sore. And the same way, if a patient with a known history of herpes of the cornea has an irritation, in other words, let's say their eye has been comfortable, and they develop an irritation, maybe a little bit of redness, the first thing in their mind is, could this be a recurrence? Because for people with herpes of the cornea, a recurrence means more scarring and decreased vision with potential for other issues, bacterial infections, and so forth. So the answer is yes. You have to have a low threshold for considering the soon to emerge recurrence of a herpes virus. Does that answer your question?
That does. And I have one more comment.
Sure.
Unrelated. I wanted to tell anybody who's listening that I was told by a friend last year about the symposium for the first time. And I did go attend, and I wanted to tell you that the whole day was wonderful and very informative, and just wanted to let the viewers out there know that it's definitely something that they need to put on their calendar.
Well, thank you, Carrie. That's very nice. Thank you for your endorsement. I hope you're able to attend this year. And once again, for everybody out there listening, it's Saturday, March 21st at the Tampa Convention Center. But go online to focusonfemales.com to register. We already are having already hundreds of people sign up already, and we have 2 months to go. And, I mean, our billboards are not up yet. The radio ads are not up yet. There's so much that hasn't gone up yet, but yet people are finding out about it and are signing up and ensuring that they have a seat for the seminars that they want to hear about and they want to participate. So now's the time to do so, to lock those seats in and spend a wonderful day with your friends learning about something which is really, there's nothing more important, and that is your health and the health of your family. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, we have, okay, one more thing I want to review. We have a patient, Renee, on the line, but before we go to Renee, I want to share a little bit more information about this virus. The virus itself can affect different levels of the cornea, and if you think of the cornea as a sandwich, that is, there's a top slice of bread, or in this case, we'll call it an outer slice of bread, and then there's an inner slice of bread, and then there's, say, meat in between. The outer slice of bread will be considered the epithelial layer, the outer part of the cornea. The inner slice of bread was the endothelial layer of the cornea, and the meat is the stroma. My point here is that the virus can affect each of the three different layers of the cornea. The cornea itself is a half a millimeter width, or actually in depth, thickness. So, but it can affect any one or all three of these, and depending upon which layer of the cornea or that sandwich that it affects will dictate the symptoms. Now, what we're going to do now is go to Renee. Renee is a patient of mine who, actually, she's been a patient of mine for now 11 years or more. Renee, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you, Dr. Maskin.
And we're talking about and trying to educate people about herpes infections of the cornea, as it, of course, it can lead to blindness and is the most common cause of reversible cornea blindness, but it could be much worse. In fact, people can lose their eyes if they get this disease and do not have it managed correctly. Now, I first saw you, went back and looked at your records, and I first saw you back in March of 97. Do you remember back then?
Oh, yes, I do. I actually had contacted the disease Christmas Eve. I woke up to a wonderful surprise. I had two young boys that were in school and daycare, and I just thought that I had possibly contacted pink eye and went throughout the day and, you know, got, you know, being at Christmas Eve, there wasn't a whole lot I was able to do. And on Monday after the holiday, was able to get in to see an eye doctor and who just diagnosed it as an infection and gave me medicine and sent me on my way. Well, for possibly 3 months of, I mean, severe pain, sensitivity to the light, I had gone and seen several doctors that were supposedly specialists, and nobody really ever told me what I had or ever treated it. By chance, my boss at the time had given me your name and number, and I contacted you, and within a week's worth of time, you know, you had already gotten the pain, you know, taken care of and had started me on a regimen of antibiotics and eye drops and was able to, you know, give me some confidence with what I had, the disease that I had, because prior to that, nobody had been able to tell me what it was that I had.
Well, thank you for sharing that history, and it is important. Herpes infections of the cornea can be difficult to diagnose, so you have to have a low threshold. We're going to come back and talk more with Renee on herpes infections of the cornea. We'll be back in a flash on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
With SRN News, I am Michael Harrington in Washington. Some supporters of President Bush would say Democrats were very careful to count the casualties in Iraq and use it against the president in a political way. Now Joe Biden says with more U.S. troops likely to see action in Afghanistan, Americans should brace for, quote, an uptick in military casualties. The vice president interviewed on the CBS program Face the Nation. Afghan President Hamid Karzai wants a bigger role in overseeing U.S. and NATO military action in his country. He's denouncing a U.S. operation he says killed 16 Afghan civilians. The Pentagon says it was 15 terrorists. President Obama's plan to jumpstart the economy carries an $825 billion price tag, but economic advisor Larry Summers says the nation can handle it, and there will be more fiscal discipline after the economy gets healthy. Problem is, lawmakers may not see it that way. It's expected to pass the House, but Senate Republicans are digging in. More details at SRNnews.com.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
Now that the euphoria of the inauguration is over, how will President Obama lead?
We are ready to lead once more.
Will he be the post-partisan middle-of-the-road president he talked about during the campaign?
We come to proclaim an end to the petty grievances.
Or will he go to the left the way he did as a senator?
Not whether our government is too big or too small, but whether it works.
Now, more than ever, we're watching Washington from the White House to the Capitol. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Digital goddess Kim Komando here. Unemployment is on the rise. The number of bankruptcies, it's up too. This weekend, insider secrets to finding a job using the internet. Plus, how to spot the newest scams targeting you and your money. It's all right here this weekend on my show, The Kim Komando Show. Online and offline, you can trust me to have your digital back.
Kim Komando, Sunday afternoon at 2 on Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 18 years and is board certified, fellowship trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and the American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2008 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please visit drmaskin.com. And if you've not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back. Renee, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right, so that was, I guess, Christmas of 96. Does that sound right?
Yes, actually, that's what I was going to say. I started thinking about it because it was over a year before I was able to, you know, get your services, which resulted in quite a bit of scarring buildup on my cornea because of not having the proper treatment.
Okay, and this was the right eye at the time?
Correct.
Okay, and it was interesting because at that time, there was actually some scarring of the epithelium of the surface or the outer slice of bread, as in our analogy, of the left cornea, and I was wondering at the time whether or not that this was a bilateral, whether or not there was a risk of having herpes in the left eye, although there was nothing active at the time. So our focus was on resolving the problem in the right eye, and again, I don't imagine that you know exactly what we, or remember exactly what we did, although you were pretty good as far as something by mouth and something topical. We used an oral antiviral, which is a medication that inhibits the replication of the virus, and basically it drives it back into latency. There's no cure for herpes virus, so what we do is we have to manage it. So we use an oral antiviral. For example, it might have been Valtrex, although it might not have been available actually back then. So therefore, it was probably an earlier generation drug similar to that, such as acyclovir or Zovirax. And taking that by mouth as well as topical steroid, because in that case, your eye did not have epithelial or surface signs of herpes. It was all the lining. It was the lining of the inner slice of bread as well as the meat. I think,
yeah,
I'm going to leave that analogy, actually. But anyway.
And it was very, very painful.
It was very painful because blisters, see, when the inner lining of the cornea is involved, it creates blisters on the surface of the cornea because the inner lining prevents fluid from accumulating in the cornea. And so when that's not functioning properly, blisters form on the surface of the cornea, and those blisters pop and create exquisite pain, and then you actually become at risk to develop a secondary bacteria infection, which can attach itself, bacteria that can then attach itself to those blisters once they pop. Well, you didn't develop a bacterial infection, but because of the damage to your cornea, yes, indeed, you wound up needing what?
A cornea transplant.
A cornea transplant, that's right. So in your case, the damage to the right eye was so severe, it had gone on significantly long, the damage occurred, and you required surgery. So at the time we did a cornea transplant, you had an early cataract too, which, by the way, can develop with this chronic long-term inflammation from herpes disease. You can get cataract. And so we did what? We did a cornea transplant and
a cataract removal.
Correct. And we put a so-called implant or intraocular lens to replace the cataract. And we should also note that at the same time, it's very fortunate because patients that have herpes infections of the cornea and the front of the eye can also get glaucoma. And fortunately, you do not develop glaucoma at that time, and you did not, you know, these are not, that wasn't another issue to be concerned about, but it could very well have happened. And that would have been another way which a person with herpes can actually go blind, is from unrecognized glaucoma. Again, in the setting of unrecognized herpes. In fact, you know, as we're talking, this reminds me of several cases over the 20 years I've been practicing where patients would come to me with unrecognized herpes disease, and it turns out the pressure is elevated in the eye. In fact, when a patient presents with one eye elevated pressure and inflammation in the front of the eye, one must consider herpes as a diagnosis. And I've seen patients out there that, again, had gone on a significant length of time without it recognized. And
I tell you, I'm not an endorsement, a paid endorsement or anything to that effect, but I went to a lot of these specialists, and they just had no idea of the severity that I had. But never once was herpes of the eye brought up. It was just always brought up that, you know, you had an eye infection.
and tried numerous medications, eye drops, that, you know, only aggravated the situation. I can't tell you how many days that I went to work with actually wearing sunglasses because of the sensitivity to the light. And once I had found you and you knew right off the bat what it was, and aggressively started treating it, you know, and I have, of course, you know, throughout the year have had flare-ups, but, you know, I know now what to look for and to get a hold of you, and, you know, we have successfully managed to keep the flare-ups down to a minimal.
Well, you make a good point, and that is that you have to have the low threshold. We mentioned it earlier in the show. You have to have a low threshold. If your eyes are comfortable doing well, and then one day you just doesn't feel right, maybe a little pink, the first thing you have to consider is this a recurrence? And that is the way to minimize any significant damage to the cornea. We want to have you keep the good vision. We don't want to have further problems. So, in fact, I have down here, actually, in the right eye has done very well. Your vision after surgery came up to 20/25. And so that's very exciting.
Unbelievable the amount of vision, because between the collapse of the cornea and having the cataract, I had, as a previous contact, where if people have worn them and they know when they get that cloud over them, that's how the vision in my right eye was constantly. And it really made it very uncomfortable, along with the sensitivity to the light. I mean, it got to the point where it was so bad that even the light, you know, when you open a refrigerator door, then that's not a very bright light, was very, very uncomfortable. And as a mother of two young children at the time, it was really hampering, you know, the style of life that I had. And I think the main thing that I really want is to let people know that this is a disease that they really don't want to play around with, and to definitely seek medical assistance right away, because it is a very aggressive disease.
Yes, and so interestingly, we've been talking about the right eye. Your right eye, the left eye, as I mentioned when I first saw you, there were some indication you might have had a virus infection in the past, which had healed up with very, very tiny scars. And turned out that later on, a few years later, in 99, the left eye acted up. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. I just was like shaking my head, like, why me? I knew if I was going to have it, that I did have the right care. And, you know, I had the faith that I knew that you would be able to, get it under control.
And it turns out that from 1999, when we saw an active case of herpes virus infection in the left eye, and mind you, for the listeners, it's very unusual to have herpes in both eyes, very unusual. But having said that, again, you can't, as they said, diseases don't read the textbooks. So you have to have an open mind. You have to have an open mind and not rule out anything because of what you've read. But but since 1999 to today, 2009, so over a 10-year period, despite having the infection in the left eye as well, you have not needed any surgery in that eye.
Correct. And this is a disease that when I've talked to people, because obviously with the eyes, people would say, oh, what's wrong with your eye, or things like that, that so many people don't know about this disease, that I've tried to, you know, be an advocate on my own also, just to let them know about it, you know, and to always bring that up if they are having problems with their eyes to their specialist. Because, you know, I don't think there's a lot of people that really know about that, the disease being, you know, able to come through your eyes.
That's right.
And I did not know, but also talking through to my great aunt, that her great uncle had it also. So she was able, as a nurse, to shed a lot of different things about the disease also to me. But there's a lot of people that don't know about this disease out there, and they really need to make sure that if they have problems with their eyes, that they're definitely, you know, checked and diagnosed properly.
Very, very good. The point I want to make here, Renee, before we wind up, is that whereas your right eye, when it was seen, the damage was to the point where you needed surgery. The left eye, we've been managing over a decade, and because of very aggressive and maintaining close vigilance on that left cornea, you have not required any surgery. And now you've had recurrences, but we attacked them aggressively and put that virus back in the latency, so you've been able to enjoy continued excellent vision in the left eye.
Correct.
So there, the bottom line is, again, and this goes to every topic we cover on Focus on Females. Again, we want to empower you, the listeners, with the information you need to maintain your good health. And don't let the disease dictate to you the outcome, because as everybody knows and common sense dictates, if you let the disease dictate to you, it will run its natural course, and which is why it's called a disease. You can't intervene with the technology we have, the understandings we have, the new approaches we have. We can intervene and prevent continued inflammation, destruction. We can alter that natural course of disease and halt it in its tracks. And again, if you participate in the Focus on Females programs, whether it be the annual symposium or these weekly radio clinics, you will change your life and the life of the people that you surround yourself with. Renee, any last words before we say goodbye for the day?
Well, first of all, as I always tell you, is that thank you again, because I don't believe that I would have my vision if it had not been for you and your aggressiveness in treating this disease. But also, I truly hope that women will go and check out your website for the Focus on Females. I was able last year to be a participant. Also worked it, and just the excitement of the different opportunities for the women to find out about healthcare topics in a fun and friendly atmosphere, I think that it definitely would be something that people should check into, not only just for the females, but they're also taking care of their families' concerns and different topics.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Renee. Have a great day. Thanks for participating on this Sunday's Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you, Dr. Maskin.
Okay. Talk to you later. Okay. We'll be back in a flash with the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
On October 9, 2007, most retirement accounts were doing just fine. The S&P 500, the Dow Jones, were at its peak. But a year later, most Americans have lost between 10 to 50% of their retirement accounts. In fact, many of you are currently receiving your fourth quarter statements, and those losses are now becoming a reality. So what are you waiting for? A Wall Street miracle? Good luck. These are the same people that got you into this mess. Hi, my name is Bill Wilson with the DeJohn Advisory Team here in Tampa. Our clients have not lost one dime in the recent stock market collapse. As a matter of fact, our clients that have made 10 to 25% 2 years ago still have all those gains. How? We locked in the gains, and we do the same for you. We will even help you recover some of your current losses with a 10% cash bonus. $200,000 becomes $220,000, $500,000 becomes $550,000. If you want to sleep at night, reduce stress, and never become victimized by future downturns in the market, call 866-515-6669. For our free DVD called Retain Your Gains. Call 866-515-6669. That's 866-515-6669.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax-deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. FocusOnFemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back. Steve Maskin here on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. And we have Pam on the line from Tampa. Pam, welcome to the Radio Healthcare Clinic. You have a question?
I do. I was diagnosed with herpes of the right eye about 5 years ago. And my question is, I've been thinking about getting LASIK surgery. And is this something that would be something I could do, or is it something you would not recommend?
Well, I think that once you have herpes and disease of the cornea, then it increases the risk for recurrences and other issues down the road if you were to undergo LASIK surgery. That's not to say you couldn't find someone that would do the LASIK surgery on you and they would use medications to suppress the virus or to try and prevent the virus to reactivate, such as an oral antiviral medication. But because LASIK itself decreases cornea sensation and creates dry eye and other issues, together with history of herpes, it could be a synergistic effect that could lead to problems. And if the problems do not develop immediately, they could develop months and years later. So my personal sense is to avoid it in that circumstance, although I'm sure that others would have their views and quite possibly would differ than mine.
Okay, so I should stick with my glasses.
Well, glasses, even contact lenses, are a good alternative option, but that's my recommendation.
Thank you very much.
Certainly. Thank you, Pam. And we have Kathy on the line. Kathy, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Hi.
Kathy, you're a patient of mine,
mm-hmm.
and we welcome you to the program. Would you like to share your experience with the herpes infection in your right eye? Right.
Well, corner. I had an infection in my eye, and I went to a regular ophthalmologist who had me do a culture, and they put me on antibiotics, and initially that helped a little bit, but they sent me to a cornea specialist who kind of put me into a cookie-cutter program and kept treating me with the same antibiotics. Apparently, he treats everybody else in his practice, and he did that for 3 or 4 months, and nothing was getting any better. As a matter of fact, he was telling me that the infection kept getting worse, and he didn't and wasn't proactive about searching other options and kept treating me to the point where I was really getting frightened that I was going to lose my vision. And I finally had one of my patients in my practice suggest that I go see you, and in one visit, you kind of like straightened me out, which was amazing. And I have dry eye syndrome in addition to having that problem with the herpes virus. And it's made a big difference in terms of controlling it and just helping me out. You know, it's amazing, really.
Well, in Kathy's case, when she presented to me, she on the first examination, she had what was clear to me an involvement of the stroma or the middle of the cornea, or in that the analogy which I thought I had given up, but maybe we'll try it again. In the meat of the sandwich, the middle of the cornea, where blood vessels were growing in there, and she was developing a scar, or she had a scar, and it was actually progressing toward the visual axis. What that means is that it was at the edge of her sight, at the edge of her pupil. And truly, if it had progressed even potentially another month, it would have actually covered the pupil, and then she would have lost sight and would have required a corneal transplant. So because we made the diagnosis, we went ahead and changed her therapy around. She did not need antibiotics. What she needed was antivirals or a medication to suppress the herpes. And we also used a topical steroid to reduce the inflammation and to thin out the scar. So how did that affect you? You said that you noticed an impact immediately.
Yeah, I noticed that. My eye wasn't as swollen, and I noticed that everything seemed to clear up literally in days, where I was going to this other person continually twice a week, paying my copay for my insurance and not getting anywhere and being told the same thing over and over again. I mean, it was just a dynamic difference, and it was really very quickly.
And the other thing is... The other thing that was apparent to me is that, as you mentioned, you also had the dry eye. Now, what's not clear to me is whether you had the dry eye before the development of the herpes infection, or whether the dry eye was a secondary effect of the herpes itself.
Well, I think that was there first, because the regular optometrist used to tell me that my eyes were really dry. And I think my contacts are what started the whole thing, because my eye was dry, and somehow I got an ulcer, mm-hmm. or what I thought was an ulcer. And she had told me it wasn't, but apparently it was, and it just got worse.
Right. And certainly if you, you know, contact lens wear is a risk factor for dry eye. Are you menopausal, or have you?
Yeah, I'm
postmenopausal.
Now I'm 55.
So that also is a risk factor for dry eye, and when you have dry eye that's not treated adequately, that actually creates inflammation on the surface of the cornea, which, if you have had herpes virus in latency, or if there's the risk for herpes virus to emerge, that inflammation can actually trigger it to come out of latency. And so we went ahead and identified that as an additional problem, and we treated that as well to maintain a comfortable eye without inflammation and to preserve your vision. And now you too, like previous patient Renee, are actively mindful of the herpes infection in the cornea. That is to say, you're mindful and aware in case you develop new symptoms to be evaluated and be sure that it does not progress. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it sure does.
Okay. We are almost out of time, so I want to thank you, Kathy, for your participation. And for everybody out there, next week on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, we're going to be tackling diabetes. We're going to be talking about prevention, diagnosis, treatment, future therapies, insulin pumps, everything about diabetes, with endocrinologist Dr. Roland LaJoy, right here on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Have a great week, and do not forget, sign up for the 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium right there on the website, focusonfemales.com, the registration tab on the top. Have a great week.